Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Hello, welcome to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Shalene Fox, your host of this great show. I tell you, we had some technical difficulties, and if I weren't telling you, you would never even know. But if you know me, I plan and I plan ahead, and it's because I panic when things aren't in order. And I had a nice panic attack just recently, a few minutes ago. Didn't know if we were going to make it on the air, but we did. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. You heard our brand new intro, and that was said by our producer, Jason Haynes, talking about the UR Tennis Network, which is here to reach those that feel like they're underrepresented. And here at the Tennis Authority, we do that by speaking with people each week and share with you a product or service that they have to offer. And I tell you, it's a great opportunity that I have. I'm so fortunate for it, and I thank Jason for that every week for reaching out to me. I was one of his students in the tennis tech program at Tyler Junior College, and here we are just a few years later. We have this great show, but you know what? It's not the only show out there. So if you haven't listened to the others, you need to check those out. And we have a different show every single day of the week. We will probably have two different shows every single day of the week coming by the end of the year. I know we have two new ones starting in February. So 2 days of the week, there will be two different shows. And it's just very exciting. We get to talk about tennis, and you get to listen about tennis. We're the only tennis radio network there is, and we're very excited to bring what we have to bring to you. Like I said, everyone's got something different they're bringing. On Sundays, we have We Coach Tennis with J.P. Weber at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. On Mondays, great show, Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone, 11 Central Standard Time, and she speaks to those who have children that are competing in tennis. Great show. I don't have children, but I even love her show. Diversity in College Tennis with Jason Haynes airs from 2 to 3:30 on Tuesdays, and he is talking about what is going on in tennis across our great country. American Tennis with Chuck Creasy, former Clemson college coach, is on Wednesdays, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Chris Lipka's show, he does a great job. He had Todd Martin on a few weeks ago, and what a great show that was to listen to. 11:30 Central Standard Time. You have us on Friday, the Tennis Authority, and on Saturdays right now we have alternating shows. We have Minorities in Tennis with Alex Chan and Women Ruling the Court with Alyssa Cohen. So, again, great shows every single day of the week. Everyone brings their own personality. They have their own topics they discuss, and it's very exciting to listen to. It's very exciting to be part of, and you can be part of it. If you miss our shows, that's okay, because they're available on iTunes. So all you have to do, if you have an Apple device, you just download the podcast app and search for the UR Tennis Network, and you can subscribe to us and download any of our past shows. So you want to go back and hear Bruce Lipka's show with Todd Martin or Martina Navratilova, you can do that. And they're available for you anytime, wherever you are, in the car, at the gym, wherever you want to listen to us, we are here for you. If this is your first time listening to the Tennis Authority, welcome to our show. You're going to enjoy it. We have an amazing guest today. I'm very excited. You've got an exciting story, not just a story, many stories to tell about his tennis past, and I'm very excited to hear them and share them with you. If you're a returning guest, thank you. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. And for those of you that are new, I always reach out and ask for you to contact me. Let me know who you are and what you like about the show, maybe what you'd like to hear on the show. And you can contact me at info at thetennisauthority.com. Again, info@thetennisauthority.com. And just let me know a little bit about yourself. Love hearing from you. So if you listen the last couple of weeks, I've been talking a lot about the Dallas Challenger, or Challenger of Dallas, excuse me. I always say it wrong. Challenger of Dallas. And so that event was going on last week. And what an amazing event that was. I got to see some great players. Got to see James Blake was in that tournament. And it was just a very small, intimate venue and very place to watch some amazing matches. I met some great vendors and have some, I'm very excited to bring some new products to you guys. You guys want to be listening soon because we have, again, some new stuff to share, and I'm very excited. You heard our show with Lisa Dodson. I got to actually meet her. She's out of California, and she was at the Challenger sharing her total serve. I got to meet Randy Stevenson. We had him on, and he's at Rackets and Strings, and so it was a great week, and it was a great tournament to be part of. I volunteered and, again, got to meet a lot of exciting people. We are going to head to a commercial break, and we will be back to talk with Ted Murray.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
Hello, and welcome back to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Fox, your host. We are here today. We're going to be speaking with Ted Murray. Ted Murray has been one of the most innovative and versatile tennis coaches in the world for over 38 years. That's quite a bit of experience. He's run programs at clubs, resorts, and academies in a number of countries while coaching players of all ages and ability levels, including Grand Slam winners and Olympic medalists. And we'll hear more some of those stories a little bit later. He's an expert in creating games and exercises that make the game fun and engaging while inspiring players to develop a passion for the sport. Hello, Ted.
Hi, Natalie.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I want to thank you so much for having me on your show. And it's great to hear the lineup of all the shows that are available to tennis players. I know Chuck Creasy really well, and he's very opinionated. And it's fun to share those opinions and really talk about the game of tennis.
Absolutely. And first, I want to thank you for taking the time out for being here. And you're absolutely right about Chuck, and that's one of my favorite things about his show is that he is opinionated. And that's why our network is here, is for us and everyone else to be able to share their opinions. As you well know, they're not often heard in the sport. And that was one of the motivations to start the network. So
great.
You're absolutely
thank you for
right.
doing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have, I've been studying your background this week, and I'm truly excited to talk to you. Sometimes I have a hard time containing my excitement, so I'll have to do that and not let the cat out of the bag, because I want you to tell your story, because it's always best, I believe, coming from the person and not someone else telling it. So first of all, though, Ted, because you've been playing tennis for a long time, and your experience is just... I'm in awe of it. When did you start playing tennis? How old were you?
Well, I actually started pretty late. I was 14 when I first started playing tennis. I grew up in Indiana, so I was trying to play basketball until I realized that at 5'7", I didn't have much of a chance. So I picked up tennis, but had played other sports and played a lot of ping pong, so I was able to pick it up fairly naturally, even though I'm not a natural athlete, and was good enough to play decent high school tennis and got a little bit of a scholarship to Ball State University. So I played 3 years of D1 varsity tennis there. But I never had any aspirations of being a pro. I recognized that I was not talented enough, nor did I have the depth of background to be a touring pro.
Right. So who introduced you to tennis?
Actually, it was the my sister was dating the number one player on the high school team. And I started hanging out the matches just to get to know him, and he took me under his wing a little bit. So I was lucky to just have a fairly easy start. I didn't have an official coach.
Right.
I just started hitting against the wall and going down to the park and hanging out and playing with people who would play with me.
That's great. And so you mentioned that you were not a natural athlete, but yet you've had an amazing amount of success related to the sport. So I love hearing that. And I hope that encourages our listeners. I myself was not, a great athlete, but I think that something neat about tennis too is kind of the movements are somewhat unnatural anyway. And it's a learned sport, I think, whether you're athletic or not. Certainly, if you are athletic, it's easier to learn. But I hope that encourages people that maybe aren't athletic to get involved and play. And I suppose that's part of what you encourage as well.
Well, I think tennis could be a great sport for just about anyone. And, mm-hmm. you know, having been involved in programs to teach wheelchair tennis, and I even started a blind tennis program in Mexico, and it really shows that anyone can play tennis well enough to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, to play at the higher levels of the game, you have to have some natural ability, and a lot of things have to come together. But I think people tend to view tennis as a very difficult sport to learn. And
mm-hmm.
one of my goals throughout my career has been to make it simpler for people to learn and make it so that anybody at whatever level of athletic skill or even age they are can pick it up well enough to enjoy it and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the beauties of the new 10 and under, the youth tennis, is trying to make it easier for kids to play and enjoy the sport from the very start. And that's really the key to keeping people involved, is making it fun.
Right. Right. And it can be fun. And I think you're absolutely right. Anyone can learn it. And, you know, it does take a certain amount of athletic ability to maybe make it at the pro. But the normal, everyday, common tennis player is not that. And so there are many opportunities for people who either want to start to learn or have just kind of piddled in it and want to become better. And, you know, it may take a little instruction. I think a little instruction is good, but I think when you've had a little or basic amount, then you can really go out on the court and have a good time with it and play.
Yeah, it's an interesting sport, and it's you know, it's frustrating if you just go out to hit balls with your friend
mm-hmm.
and you spend the whole hour picking up balls. So
right.
there is a learning curve that is essential
mm-hmm.
for most people, although I feel like most tennis instruction has been over-instructed and overthinking and over-mechanizing things and really making it more difficult than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always tried to keep my instruction simple and focus on what is really essential and not over tie people up by having them think about four different things at the same time and worry about what every body part is doing. And I feel like, you know, if you've played other sports and have some experience with athletics in general, that carries over to many things in tennis, where you don't have to concentrate on so many things. And again, we get too tied up mentally. And that's
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons that my focus now is called Tennis from the Heart, which we'll talk about a little bit later, which is, you know, getting out of the mind and just playing for the pure joy of playing.
Right. Okay. That's said very well, and I've got some questions, but, yeah, I will save them for later so we can
mm-hmm.
kind of stay on track. And I want to give out the phone number for those of the live listeners. If they have a question for you, Ted, it's 714-583-6853. Again, 714-583-6853. We often do have callers when we have coaches on that have coaching questions. So
right.
I want to back up a little bit. And so you played college in tennis, and you played tennis in college. And when you got out of college, what did you do from there?
Well, I was really fortunate. Between my freshman and sophomore year, I had an opportunity to work at a summer tennis camp in Canada. And that was my first experience with coaching. I thought, okay, this would be a good opportunity. And when I got there, the director of the camp was a guy named Peter Burwash. And Peter, in my mind, is still the most innovative tennis coach in the world. And he taught me how to teach, and it founded the foundation of my whole career. And I really owe him really everything that I've done in tennis is by having a mentor like Peter who had a tremendous vision. And to show you how far advanced he was, in 1974, he introduced us to the modern forehand. So in 1974, we were teaching open stance forehand, semi-Western grip, and starting back with the shoulder turn and use of the left hand to guide the racket. That was 1974. Mm-hmm. Okay? The USPTA sort of adopted modern tennis, saying it's okay to teach open stance forehand in 2004. So that's sort of how far Peter was in terms of his vision for the game. And so I was very fortunate to be part of, to learn from someone who like that, who really knew how to keep the game simple, but yet was on the cutting edge of what was really going on. So I was very fortunate. And then from that experience, Peter started a company, and he said, hey, we're going to take tennis to everywhere in the world and take the joy of tennis and take it to the whole world. And so after three summers of going there, he convinced me to forego my final year of college in order to go to Hawaii to help him start this tennis company. And at the time, you know, my parents thought it was crazy. This guy's nuts. You know, there's no security. And I'm thinking, do I want to stay in Indiana and teach high school history to kids who don't want to be there? Or do I want to go to Hawaii and teach people tennis who love to do it on the tennis court? So it was a challenging decision at that time.
Sure.
I've never regretted it. And as it turned out, I mean, even though at that time we had no idea the company would be a success, you know, they've been around now for 35 years. I was a founding member and with them for 20 years. And, you know, so really he created an opportunity for coaches to have just an amazing experience in tennis. And he recognized that the value of traveling and learning from other people and going to other cultures was something that was often just reserved for guys on the tennis circuit. And so mm-hmm. he set it up so that by teaching, people who were never going to make it to that level would have an opportunity to experience the amazing learning opportunity and growth potential of living and traveling to different countries and really interacting with people from all parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's incredible. And that was one of my favorite things about you was that you were an actual founding member of PBI. I came out of the Tennis Tech program out of Tyler, Texas. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But that
sure.
was one
that
was one of our options for interning. And so we had a lot of students that did that. And he's now the company's now in the Woodlands, Texas, right?
Yeah. We've been based in the Woodlands for a long, long time. And, yeah,
okay.
As far as I know, I remember going to Tyler one year.
Uh-huh.
And I think almost every year someone from PBI would go to Tyler to do a one-day course there. And,
uh-huh.
You know, share our techniques, and it was also a very good recruiting tool because back then, Steve Smith, when he started Tyler, I mean, it was just mm-hmm. a great concept and a great way to give a good education to people like yourself who wanted to get into the tennis business and, you know, wanted to see, okay, get a great foundation of what area of the tennis industry should I go into and
mm-hmm.
how can I do it. And he got, you know, he really put together a great program. And to be a part of that and to help train, and also PBI then saw it as helping to create opportunities for those kids to really have a fantastic first step into the tennis world. And PBI still is a great opportunity for young people coming out of college to get great training. I mean, the training you get in PBI is unmatched. And then to have the opportunity to be part of a team. What I loved about it was I could go to a different location. My role was a startup person. So I would start the new program, get it up and running, and then after 2 or 3 years, okay, Ted, there's someplace here's a new place you got in Puerto Rico. Why don't you go there? So I'd go and start the program there. But it really is a great opportunity to get the travel, to get the experience, and yet have the security of a company behind you.
Right. Yeah, a very good one as well. So share with us some of the players that you worked with while you were with PBI.
Well, PBI's main focus has always been resort tennis. So they staff world-class resorts like the Four Seasons around the world. And so it's really known as a resort management company. Peter just saw that as the niche. And instead of opening academies and focusing on developing top players, he pretty much stuck to the niche. I was fortunate that my first year and a half I was in Hawaii, and I worked with the Hawaii Junior Davis Cup team, where Peter coached the top kids and I had the next tier. So I was able to see how he worked with good players, and so I got a little bit better grounding in working with top players than is normal within the typical PBI training. So I'd always sort of, you know, gravitated towards one or two kids who were good and give them some extra time. And so I always loved working with the better players that I came across. For example, there was one kid in Puerto Rico when I was there in early 80s. And, you know, his family couldn't afford too many lessons, but he was really keen. So I made him sort of an honorary ball boy. He helped me out. I gave him a lot of lessons, worked with him. And, you know, he went on to get a college scholarship at the Coast Guard Academy, became an All-American there. And to me, that's what it's all about, is helping kids who have the desire and the drive but may not have the opportunity economically. Right. And, you know, to help them take that next step so that they can really have a great life. And you know, having a college scholarship is really the main goal, I would say, for almost anyone interested in tennis. In today's world, to have your goal be a circuit player is just so many things have to come together for that to work out. And we all know that it's a tough lifestyle. You know, we look at the money that you make at the top 10. But if you're not in the top 100, you know, it's a tough journey. It's a tough lifestyle to really make it. So helping kids get a college scholarship is really such a rewarding thing. And so I've always, anywhere I've been, even though that hasn't been the main focus, I've always tried to help. Now, I was really fortunate in that in 1985, PBI got the contract to help start the Britannia Amatrage Tennis Foundation. So Peter had been friends with Vijay Amitraj on the circuit, and he and his family started a really amazing academy with a specific goal of training the next generation of Davis Cup players. So they worked with Nabisco, who was in their subsidiary, Britannia, in India, and they set up this academy in Chennai, which was their hometown, and his mother ran it, and they were just 8 kids. So we had the top 8 kids in the country, age 12 to 14. And, you know, we trained them before and after school. They went to school together. We had all the physical education. And that was, we really introduced India to the idea of physical training. You know, before that, they had no concept of really what it, anything more than just running a mile or two. And that was their physical conditioning. And so that program was really one of the highlights of my career and my life, working with those kids who were just so dedicated, so focused. And we were like parents to them, you know. It'd take two-day train ride, you know, to play national tournaments. And so you have a lot of time to really spend with the kids. You got to know them really well. And, you know, they were away from home for the first time at that age. And so it really was a tremendously rewarding experience. At the start of the second year, we brought in a couple of new kids to replace some of the ones who weren't measuring up. And one of those kids was Leander Pace. And at 12 years old, Leander was had not been much of a tennis player. He loved soccer. He loved football and wanted to be an Olympian, but he realized he could never make it as a soccer player and from India. So he took up tennis. And fortunately, the program was perfect for him because it gave him a chance to really get the training he needed, play against better players on a consistent basis. And he worked twice as hard as everybody else and really had that focus. So, you know, I was really focused, really fortunate to be Leander's first coach in that program and work with him for that first year. And, you know, he went on to win Junior Wimbledon while he was with that program. He won the Junior U.S. Open, was ranked number one in the world for a while as a junior, and then went on to pro circuit. And, you know, I know he's not a well-known name except for those who understand tennis, but he's been, you know, one of the top doubles players in the world for the last 20 years. You know, he's won, what, 15 Grand Slams now. And, but what was really interesting is he won a singles bronze medal in the 1996 Olympics. And that was the first medal of any kind that India had won in the Olympics ever.
And,
So that was a huge breakthrough for him, obviously, but also for Indian tennis to have that distinction of being the first medal. And I probably should shut up so you can get to your next commercial, yeah?
No. I don't want you to shut up. I'm loving this. So you've and I may be jumping ahead a little bit, but you've had a lot of experience in several countries. And something I've noticed just from you talking about working in India is there it sounds like there's a definite difference in the dedication between and maybe appreciation as well between the kids or juniors there as opposed to the U.S. Did you experience that?
Yeah, very much so. Number one, that was a specific program that it was totally free. So it was totally scholarship-based. And so that gave you a lot more leverage. You know, when they're getting it free, you have a leverage. You know, they have to dedicate themselves or else. It's really different from when, you know, parents are paying the bills and you have to sort of, you know, sometimes compromise your standards for that. But so that program itself was really unique. However, just in general, the Indian mentality of kids there, and even today, I still find that there's a much more sense of respect for elders.
Right.
You know, they call me Ted Sir. You know, no one would ever think of calling me Ted. So even now, you know, Leander still calls me Ted Sir, or anybody who's in that program. You know, it's just that. That sense of respect is just incredible, and I think it's still part of their culture and the way they're brought up. So I really do feel a difference when I come to the U.S. and work with kids. It's not to say that American kids aren't dedicated and can't be, but the culture is very different that way.
Right. Well, do you see any hope for our kids here in the States, tennis-wise?
Yeah, I really do, because I think if things are set up well and the standards are set, then kids are looking for discipline. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for direction. And so that's where the coach needs to really set the example for them to recognize what the boundaries are and what is needed to reach their goal. So I mentioned Chuck Creasy earlier. You know, I had very good fortune to reconnect with Chuck and visit the JTCC where he's working now. And that operation is fantastic. It really is the future of American tennis, I believe. They've got great coaches. They've got a great setup. But most importantly, they focus on the attitude of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a really amazing mentorship program where every kid is mentored by a coach and every kid mentors a younger kid. And so the whole sense of respect and dedication that they've set up with that just makes for an amazing program. And so if you're good enough to make it to their top-level program,
mm-hmm.
you're guaranteed a college scholarship. But you have to really earn your right to stay in that. And they don't
right.
tolerate lack of effort. I've seen kids that had a little bit of lack of effort, and they were running laps for 2 hours, you know, until they were able to dedicate. So it really takes the coaches having a real knowledge of what it takes
mm-hmm.
and then inspire the kids to say, hey, we've got the formula, and if you're willing to put in the effort and dedication, you know, you'll get success. But too often, you know, especially in the U.S. now, everybody wants instant success, instant messaging, instant text,
right.
you know. And no, it's very challenging to convince the students that we can make this fun for you now, but it's more fun if you work really hard and dedicate yourself and get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my goal, is to keep it fun so it's not just like a job, but to create the practices and create the environment so that the kids want to work hard. So they
mm-hmm.
want to get the extra attention, hit more balls, and want to work hard and do the extra laps instead of trying to shirk hard work. And that's the challenge, I think, is trying to
yeah.
find that balance where you, because nobody's going to make it if they don't love the sport. It doesn't matter how talented you are. If you don't have it in your heart to love the time that you put on the court, you're not going to survive at the highest levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was amazing about Leander, is from the very start, he was willing to put in an effort. You know, you just,
gotcha. Yeah.
you know, we'd spend 5 minutes straight on an up and back overhead volley combination drill, and he'd have no legs left. And we'd finish, and he'd say, give me one more minute, coach, one more minute.
Oh, wow,
you know?
Wow.
Let me experience what it's going to be like when I'm totally wasted. And yet the guy couldn't run 3 miles to save his life. He hated long-distance running.
Uh-huh.
But he was always willing to do the extra work. And that's the attitude that we're really looking for, is finding those special kids that have that attitude. But it can be developed if the right atmosphere is created. And that's what I feel like they've really done at JPCC with Chuck
uh-huh.
and Vesa and the other coaches there. Just, it's an amazing example of what can happen even here in the U.S.
Well, that's great. And so, something that I don't think I've ever – I don't have children of my own, and I haven't coached a lot of juniors, so I haven't experienced some of the things you're saying, but something that's kind of made me think twice is you're putting a lot of responsibility of this on the coaches. So in my mind, I'm thinking it's the way kids are raised at home. And I know that plays a huge role in it, but I don't think I quite realized the responsibility it is of the coaches. So – I learned something there, so thank you for sharing that.
Well, it's got to be a partnership. It's a partnership
mm-hmm.
with the parents and the coach as well as the kids. So it's very challenging. You know, we know that there are issues right now with the whole family concept in the U.S. that
right.
parents are working. It's very difficult for the kids to have the atmosphere at home that is ideal. And there are so many role models that lead them away from that. But yet,
mm-hmm.
if you look at any successful person in any aspect of life, you can almost always go back and ask them, who had the most impact on your life and your career? And almost always they will mention a teacher or
mm-hmm.
a coach. And
mm-hmm.
so a coach is in a position to have a tremendous impact on the kids that they work with. And too often, I don't think we take that seriously enough. We focus on how much can I make and how much,
yeah.
you know, and the externals, instead of really seeing the responsibility we have of, hey, I've got this kid that I'm responsible for, whether it's 2 hours a week or whether it's 6 hours a day in an academy. But I have an opportunity as a coach to help really impact this child's future. And that really is much more important to me, what kind of person they become through mm-hmm. your example than how far they make it on the tennis circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And that
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say you're so very wise, and I wish I would have. I wish I would have been taught that, you know, when I was younger and I was working with children, because you're right. It's more about how many hours can I put in and how much can I make. And I don't, the thought never crossed to my mind that I'm influencing these kids. I mean, I was a whole lot younger, certainly a lot more naive, but I wish every coach would listen to this and hear what you have to say, especially, you know, younger ones that are just getting into it, because you're absolutely right. You're brilliant for figuring that out.
Well, it's the point is that if you take that approach, then the money will come. You'll always be successful because people recognize there's something special.
Right.
You're having something that they're not getting from other mm-hmm. sources. And mm-hmm. so in taking that approach, you know, by not having the money be the ultimate goal, you actually will attract abundance to you. But we have our priorities wrong. We try to put money first mm-hmm. and figure out ways to make that happen. And that was the beauty of our early days in PBI. You know, we weren't making much money, but we didn't care, you know.
Right.
So, okay, let's take a tour with a tennis show for 3 weeks to China. We'd like, oh, sure, let's go, you know. We never thought about, well, I'm missing X number of lessons and I won't get this much money, you know. You didn't
yeah.
think that way. And
right.
it was all about giving back to people's lives, like the wheelchair programs and special programs that you did free of charge. You know, that's where you really got the inspiration, and that's where
mm-hmm.
you really got the motivation. And that's what
mm-hmm.
life is really about, is making that contribution to people's lives.
Right. So another interesting fact about you is you have written a book. Tell us about Tennis Unlimited.
Well, after I left PBI actually to work with a friend who was the second coach with me at the BAT program, very amazing individual named David O'Meara. And he was the one who really was there for 5 years with Leander in that group. So I'd always had a special bond with him. And so we decided to get together and work together. And so we spent a year working together in Atlanta. And our focus that time was writing the book. And we really wanted to write a book that would be very simple and yet usable. And so instead of trying to write a 300-page book, All I Know About Tennis, we were trying to distill everything down to the smallest common denominator possible. And what we came up with was a theory that was called essential to ideal. And if you look at most tennis instruction traditionally, it focuses on the ideal situation. Here's how you stand. Here's how you take your racket back. Here's how you swing through. And everything geared towards making this beautiful-looking stroke. And yet, when you get into a match situation, what happens? It falls apart because you're running to reach the ball. You've got the ball coming at you harder than you're used to. So it's like the match situation was totally separated from a coaching situation. You know, oh, my forehand is perfect. I'm hitting it great. As soon as you get in the match, oh, it fell apart. Why?
Yep.
Well, it's because you're only concentrating on the ideal, and yet the match is full of all kinds of situations. You know, you're in defense half the time. So in order to adapt that, we said, okay, what's essential? What are the essential parts of every shot? And let's focus on those first. Let's build a foundation that's not going to fall apart no matter what situation you're in, and then build that up to the ideal. And so it really is an amazing book because it's great for beginners to start with a great foundation, and yet it has relevance all the way up to top players. And we put loads of games and drills and ways of actually developing these things. So again, I don't like just giving instructions, say, oh, do this. You know,
right.
that doesn't help. What you need to do is find a gimmick, find a drill, find a little game, find some way that they can get the feel. And once you get the feeling for what you're doing, now you can replicate it. And so the whole philosophy, and then we talked about the philosophy of making mistakes. And part of the issue that I feel is really, really holding back tennis players is the idea that there is an ideal way to hit the ball, and your goal is to minimize mistakes. In the learning process, mistakes are fantastic. Mistakes are valuable. You know, the best way to stunt a kid's growth is to say, as a 12-year-old, don't make any unforced errors. You're guaranteeing, but by the time he's 16, he's going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is developing weapons, and here's a kid still trying to be a pusher and keep balls in play. So in order to grow, you have to take risks. You have to make mistakes. You have to be willing to try new things and get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
The key is to learn, to help kids learn how to, or people in general, how to correct their mistakes. Okay, so I hit the ball in the net. Great. Okay, if I hit the next four balls in a row in the net, I'm not too smart, right? If I hit the first ball in the net and I hit the next ball in the back fence, that's fantastic. I've just made my correction. It's an overcorrection, right? But now I can work through that. So it really is a matter of loosening the barrier on kids of saying this is right and this is wrong, and really saying, hey, let's create, let's try things, let's learn from it, be aware, but let's be open to find your own style, find your own creativity. And that's when you look at Leander play. Have you ever seen Leander play doubles?
Yes, on TV, sure.
You know, the guy's the most creative volleyer in the world, you know. He hits shots all over creation, can hit drop volleys from any place in the world. And that was part of, you know, coming up through our system where we would put them in totally defensive situations, have them flick wrists, teach them the tweener. You know, we had them do all kinds of shots like that to learn to be totally adaptable to the situation they're in. And so he's a great example of that freedom to just spontaneously create. You know, you look at a Roger Federer, how creative he is in terms of just coming up with the shot that's needed from that situation. You know, he's not locked into a pattern like you see so many players they become very good, but they're still locked into patterns that are limiting them at a certain level. And so I feel like when you give kids a framework of, okay, here's a, you know, if you go outside this framework, you may be injuring yourself, you're going to hurt yourself, or you'll limit your ability to progress in the future. But within that framework, let them create. Let them find their own true stroke, you know, their true shots, and let them have fun, you know, just trying things out.
Right. Wow, another great lesson from Ted Murray right there. That's going to be my next tennis book to read for sure. And I mean that. I felt like you couldn't have talked to me any more direct. I want to hear a little bit about the blind program, and then I want to get on to tennis from the heart. So how in the world do you teach blind people how to play tennis?
Well, it's a challenge technologically. What we did is, this is back in, 81. So the technology wasn't where it is now, but tennis is a challenging sport because of the, it's not like softball. Like softball, the blind could play pretty well just by putting some kind of a sound device in the ball, but you're in a set location. It has to be in a set area so they can use their amazing auditory acuity to be able to make contact with the ball. Tennis is challenging that way. We got kids to the point where they could serve 10, 15 balls in a row in. We got kids to where they could play a game where they had a sighted partner. So they would bounce and hit the ball. Their partner would catch it, blow a whistle. They would come over, hand them the ball, and then they would bounce it. So they could play to that extent. What I wasn't able to come up with and is the a small enough device to either put in or attach to the ball, mm-hmm. so that they could actually hear the ball coming and bouncing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's available now, and could be adapted, mm-hmm. if you had just a little thin strip. I mean, the problem is if you put something in a ball, and 3 months later it's no good, or you hit it over the back,
right.
of the fence and it's gone. So yeah. it's not like a baseball or something like that. So technologically it's a challenge, but again, it's not so much of what limitations they have in terms of playing what we refer to as regular tennis, but mm-hmm. it really is about what you can give them a feeling of accomplishment. Oh, wow, I've done something that I didn't think I could do. And that,
yeah.
That's more important than the absolute of, well, no, they're not going to be able to get out and beat an able-bodied person. Now, the beauty is wheelchair tennis has done that, Mm-hmm. Wheelchair players have come along to the point where they can compete on even footing with the vast majority of able-bodied players. And
right.
So really, it really is showing that the lessons that you can learn from tennis can be learned at any level, and that the enjoyment you can get through participating in the process of tennis, it's not about how far you progress or how good you become or who you can beat. It's about what you learn about yourself in the process. And how
yeah.
you grow by overcoming the challenges that you face in a tennis setting.
Wow, incredible. Now, tennis from the heart, that's what you're doing today. And mm-hmm. I cannot believe this whole conversation is truly that, tennis from the heart. I believe that every time you think tennis or on a tennis court, it's coming from your heart, and I think you've proven that. And I don't know if that's what the name came from, but I think it's the perfect name for you. I love your logo as well, and I think it fits you perfectly, and it fits what you do. Now, tell our listeners what Tennis from the Heart is.
Well, it started almost 10 years ago. I reconnected with a good friend that I met through PBI, Jim McGarry, and we talked about how we could impact the way tennis is viewed and especially coached. And the whole idea is that tennis has been taught, in my mind, too much with the mind,
mm-hmm.
too much focus on form, too much focus on intellectualizing, too much talking. The inner game of tennis came out, in the mid-70s, and it had a huge impact on everything except the coaches and the way that they approached it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to find a middle ground there. Inner game didn't give you enough direction of how to go, but it had the right idea. Let's not focus so much on the nuances of intellectualizing every movement that you're doing. So the idea of Tennis from the Heart was to enable people to play more freely, learn in a way that, again, focuses, like we talked about the essentials, focus on what's really important, and have the freedom to explore. But really, it's more about how to develop wonderful character and great success skills that will help people in life and help them grow as an individual. So that was really the foremost, our start of it. And then Jim came to work with me at our club in Florida. I owned a tennis and fitness club for 10 years in Florida. And during that time, he came really to help me get started with Tennis from the Heart. Unfortunately, the Hurricane Charlie in 2004 came through and wiped out our condo, wiped out the club. And we spent the next year and a half recovering from that. And so Tennis from the Heart sort of got sidetracked, even though we had a fantastic logo done by a good friend of his who worked at Disney. So over the past few years, after I sold the club, I spent 3 years in Asia, in India and Thailand, working with academies. And really, I've been on a more spiritual quest for a long time, and really mm-hmm. focusing on my own personal growth. And that's why I moved to Boulder about a year and 2 months ago. I felt that I needed to come here to really grow internally, personally. Mm-hmm. And I had felt before like I was sort of separating. I was like, okay, I had my tennis life and I had my spiritual life, and keep those two separate. So now I'm trying to integrate them and say, what have I learned in my journey as an individual, and how can I bring those things to people through tennis? So things like visualization, how to use your mind to really visualize a wonderful future for yourself and for your game. I mean, all great players visualize their sport. Breathing techniques. In fact, I just have a session now with amazing scientists who are creating machines that are showing you how to regulate your breath in order to affect your heart rate and your brain waves so that you can actually get into the zone. So one of the goals of tennis from the heart is to find a repeatable way that players can actually play in the zone. And so Boulder is just an amazing place for cutting-edge science, for great physical fitness, and also for the unlimited attempt to show what spiritual life is all about. So I'm learning a tremendous amount from different areas and trying to bring them all together in tennis from the heart to really – my goal is manyfold, actually, but first and foremost, it's to help train coaches and parents to approach the game in a way that is empowering to the students, that is enabling them to use tennis as a growth opportunity to learn about themselves and to learn the lessons that tennis can teach. I mean, tennis is so much more than wins and losses.
Sure.
You know, if you think about the unique nature of tennis as a sport, you're out there pretty much on your own, but yet you have a chance to be part of a team. You're there in a format, in a match situation, where you have tremendous opportunities to make mistakes, learn from them, figure things out, not give up, persevere, and still try to come up ahead. And even if you lose on the scoreboard, if you've focused on every point, if you've done your goals that you set up ahead of time, you can still be a winner no matter what the scoreboard says. And mm-hmm. So tennis itself is just, to me, a tremendous forum for potential growth. And we lose that when we make the only goal, I'm going to beat that person.
Right. You're right.
And
okay.
If you want to beat, you know, if all you want to do is win, fine, go play your 83-year-old grandmother and beat her 6-love, 6-love. You know, where's the satisfaction?
Right.
You know, the real beauty of the game is playing someone who is equal to or slightly better than you and trying to grow within yourself to see what you're capable of, you know,
mm-hmm.
to go beyond what your perceived limitations are. And
mm-hmm.
see what you can accomplish. And so when it's taken from that point of view and you really say, okay, I'm willing to dedicate my time to improve in order to grow, and this will make me a better human being. And when you think about it, those lessons that you can learn on a tennis court are the lessons that let you be a successful leader in life, much
yeah.
more so than, you know, memorizing something in a history book.
Right. You're right. Exactly. Ted, we might go over a few minutes. Do you have a few extra minutes today to spend with us?
I've got all the time in the world. I'd love
to. Well, good. Great. I'm glad to hear that. We've talked so much, but I just want to let our live listeners know we've got about 5.5 minutes left, so we may lose you, but you can hear the rest of the show on our podcast. I will be posting that on our Facebook page later, and you can also email me to get that. So, Ted, tell me what all of the services are that Tennis from the Heart has to offer, because you have quite a few.
Well, we're just getting started. So we've got a website up. It's in
uh-huh.
the very rudimentary stages, but it's there, just tennisfromtheheart.com.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a very starting phase, but it has a number of phases. One is training coaches. So, you know, I spent, you know, 2 or 3 years of my career with PBI training their coaches, and I've done many coaches workshops for, you know, PTR, PTA. So I love training coaches. I love sharing this with coaches because they're the ones that are going to have the impact, and that's how you reach more kids than me trying to just develop my own academy. So, you know, and it's not so much about training coaches in the how to hit the ball, but in the why to hit the ball. Why? How do you inspire kids? How do you create games that will do the teaching for you instead of focusing just on drills? So it's part of it is coaches. Part of it is parents, giving parents the information and knowledge and some direction on how to be more effective in helping their kids get the most out of their passion for tennis. And those will be partly through the website. I'll be doing a lot of videos and then creating, also doing consulting for facilities. You know, I've got a fairly unique background in that I own my own tennis and fitness club for 10 years, so I have the owner's perspective. I understand resort business. I understand clubs. So for me to come into a facility, I can help them maximize what they gain from tennis and their tennis program. Most tennis programs struggle to make money, and that's because they focus only on the money, where I can help them revamp their whole concept and programming, help them train their coaches, help them hire new coaches that they need to be able to really attract people through the energy and the atmosphere that's created there. And if you create the right atmosphere, then tennis will attract anybody. And one of the great things that is doing that is cardio tennis, which I'm sure most of your listeners are somewhat aware of. But to me, cardio tennis is just a fabulous way to attract people to the game in a way that's fun, exciting, and less sort of competitive-oriented than possible. Now, I also love to do workshops and work with top kids. And again, just because I'm gearing this towards changing the way you look at competition doesn't mean that it won't help players who aspire to be great players. In fact, it helps them because when you stop focusing on the score, you actually play better. You stop yourself from choking when you're serving for the match at 5-4 in the third, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're still focusing in the present. You're aware. You're in the present as opposed to thinking the future. So a big part of it is just sharing what I have to offer with people in a way that they can utilize it. So, you know, I'm writing another book that is called Tennis from the Heart. I've also completed a tennis-based novel that I'm waiting to produce until I've got the instruction book out. But it's a fun way to teach some lessons within a framework of a story. And now I'm starting to work on videos, and I soon will be producing an application, you know, for iPad and iPhone apps. So there's a lot of things that I'm putting together right now. They're not all available. In fact, not too many of them are available right now. But the goal is to really create as many avenues as possible to help bring people together. You know, one of the things that I see as a real challenge within tennis coaches is seeing each other as competition and fighting over students and trying to hold information because that's my knowledge and that's going to make me great. And that's holding the sport back. You know, if we work together and say, hey, how do we make this game more fun for everybody? How do we expand the pool of players so that everybody who wants to start tennis has a great experience and loves the sport and thinks it's the greatest thing they've ever done, then we're going to have lessons and we're going to have students for the rest of our lives. And so that's really my goal is to – share what I've been fortunate to learn over the years in a way that makes the game so much more fun, so much more rewarding for everybody who picks it up, and really give them the tools to enjoy and gain from the sport at the highest level they possibly can. And the real goal is to help them become better human beings through participating in tennis.
Wow, that's just incredible. And I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited to learn about these new products or things you have coming out. I definitely want to be part of the coaching program. And I'm so eager to – I've learned so much today that would have made me – so much better years ago when I was teaching, but will still make me better today just in life in general. It's just like you said, teaching life lessons. So I definitely want to be part of that. I want you to come back on the show when your books are going to come out, when these apps are going to come out, when you're launching new products. Please stay in touch, and because I think we will have no problem listening to you many more times. I could stay here all day and listen to you.
I love sharing with you, Natalie. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share, because I've been hiding really for a long time. And now it's time to bring out what I've been fortunate to learn through my life experience and share it with the world. And for you to give me this opportunity to really speak to you and to all the listeners here has really been a wonderful blessing to me, and I really, really appreciate it. And I'll be happy to come on anytime and share with you as much as I can about what I know about tennis.
I hope so, because I've truly enjoyed today's conversation. So I hope you stay in contact, and I look forward to learning more from you as well. I truly, truly do. I want you, before we go, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, you can go to my new website. Recognize it's a work in progress. But that's tennisfromtheheart.com. No dots or dashes or anything, just tennisfromtheheart.com. On there it has my email address and my phone number, but I can give you those as well. I'm happy to talk to anyone who is interested in what we've talked about today. My email right now is tedtennis108@gmail.com.
Okay.
So pretty easy to remember. tedtennis108@gmail. And my phone number is 720-402-2669. And I love traveling, so if you're in a location and would love to have me come and consult with your club or train coaches or offer special workshops to players of any level, you know, I'm really my joy is traveling and taking tennis anywhere in the world. So I'm anywhere I can help out and be of service to sharing these ideas and helping tennis become a more fun, enjoyable, and rewarding experience for people, I'm here to help out.
Awesome. Ted, thank you again so much for being with us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Well, thank you, Natalie. It's been a real pleasure, and I really appreciate what you're contributing to the growth of the game of tennis, and it's really needed, and you do a great job. So thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Ted Murray of tennisfromtheheart.com. Oh, my gosh. I'm just in awe of the conversation we just had. I mean, this guy, he's got it. I don't know where he's been hiding or why he's been hiding for all these years, but I'm glad that he's no longer hiding. So don't forget about his book, Tennis Unlimited. I can't wait for Tennis from the Heart to come out and for the novel to come out. You know, some of you have expressed interest. We've had a couple of books in the past, and some of you have expressed some interest, and I'd really like to start a book club of some sort related to tennis books, because we've had some great conversations about the authors we've had on, and we'll definitely add Tennis Unlimited to that list. And if you're interested in that, you can email me at info at thetennisauthority.com. I don't have details worked out. I'm still trying to figure out the best way to do it. We'll either do it where we call in, like a conference call or an online chat room, and have a conversation and get the authors involved, where we can talk about the book, because we've had just some amazing books. And after the conversation we had with Ted, I have no doubt that Tennis Unlimited is not going to be a great one either. I thank you guys for sticking around. We went over a little bit today, but my gosh, wasn't it worth it? It was so worth it. I cannot wait to have him back and speak with Ted some more. We have another great show planned for next week with Danny Tarpley, and we are going to be speaking with him. He's got a site, tennisjobs.com, so that'll be exciting for anyone in the tennis industry who, well, it's just a good way to make connections and see what's going on. And he's given me some great tips about searching for certain things, and he can you too. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll be out at the Southwest Buying Show this weekend here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, searching out for some new products to share with you guys. So I'm excited about that. Like I said, I found a couple last week at the Dallas Challenger, and I expect to come back this weekend with a whole lot more. I thank you again for sticking with us. Don't forget to find us on Facebook at The Tennis Authority. You can find our upcoming shows at www.thetennisauthority.com. And let me hear from you, hear how things are going, hear who you are. I love hearing from the fans. And we will talk to you next week. Stick with us for one more commercial, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. See you on the court.
This is Jason Haynes, CEO of the UR Tennis Network. We are proud to announce the 2013 summer camp season has begun. At ussportcamps.com, you can plan out a Nike tennis camp experience. These are offered to both adults and juniors for day and overnight camps. Visit ussportcamps.com to pick up a brochure and join over 50,000 youth who say yes to our summer camp experience. Join a Nike tennis camp at www.ussportcamps.com or call us at 1-800-NIKE-CAMPS. In 2013, let our summer camps be your victory. Choose the Nike tennis camps and take your game to the next level. Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.